Easter Sunday is my favorite Sunday. For Christians, Easter Day is the day when we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. What a thrilling day the first Easter Sunday was. As I said on the website, a few days earlier on the first Good Friday, Jesus had died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin and to save us from our sins and the consequences of our sin. But although Jesus had carefully taught his disciples to prepare them for this, when the time arrived and Jesus was arrested, he was tried, and he was crucified, they were overcome by grief. They were confused. They were full of doubts and fears. But on the first Easter day, when Jesus rose from the dead, all that changed. Grief was replaced by joy. Confusion gave way to clarity. Fear was replaced by peace. And doubt gave way to faith. The resurrection of Jesus is at the heart of New Testament preaching. And it's at the heart of the gospel. You read through the book of Acts. What event is mentioned more than any other in the book of Acts? It's the resurrection of Jesus. And why is it so significant? Because as the Bible makes clear, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead confirms a number of things. It confirms that Jesus is the Son of God. He was shown to be the Son of God. How? By the resurrection of the dead. It confirms that the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf has been accepted. How would we have known that the sacrifice of Jesus had been accepted if it were not for the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? It confirms that his victory over sin and death and hell for us is complete. That all who repent of their sin and believe that he died in their place will be forgiven. No ifs, no maybes. That he is able, as he promised, to be with us always. He's the risen, ascended, living Lord Jesus. And it's also a confirmation that one day he will judge the world and he will gather all his people to be with him in his kingdom forever. It's a great day. It's a great occasion. Of course, we don't confine our celebrations to Easter Day. Many Christians call each Sunday the Lord's Day. And why do they do it? Because it was on the first day of the week that Jesus rose from the dead. But I would suggest that when we read our New Testaments, we shouldn't stop there. And so many recognize that every day of the week is the Lord's Day. To be lived in fellowship with the living Lord Jesus and to please him. We are resurrection people. Now this morning, as we open our Bibles at John 20 and also as we take a little excursion a little later into Luke 24 and consider the accounts of the resurrection of Jesus. And the first people he appeared to in his resurrection body, I want to draw attention to the different obstacles that at first stopped these people from enjoying a living relationship with the risen Lord Jesus. But how, when they were taken away, these people were able to enjoy his love, they were able to enjoy his friendship and his fellowship from that day forward and, in fact, forever. I believe that one of the reasons these things are written in Scripture is to show to us that these obstacles that may be preventing us from realizing that Jesus is alive can be taken away, so that we too can enjoy his love, his friendship, and his fellowship day by day and for eternity. Now, the first person we're introduced to here in John's Gospel, chapter 20, is Mary of Magdala. And we find her making her way to the tomb before it was hardly light enough to see. However, in the first light of dawn, one thing stood out clearly. The stone that had been rolled over the mouth of the tomb where the body of Jesus had been laid, that stone that had been sealed and guarded, had been rolled away, and no one was around. Now, we might have expected Mary would have been really excited about that. To have thought to herself, why? Jesus talked often about the resurrection. This must be it. And then hurried to see the empty tomb. But Mary didn't see things like that at all. She had been brokenhearted by the arrest, by the trial, by the crucifixion, by the death of Jesus. And so when she saw the stone rolled away, it seemed like one more item to add to her list of disappointments. In fact, her grief, her sadness, was an obstacle to her recognizing and enjoying the risen Jesus. Mary loved Jesus. There was no one in the world who meant more to her. Jesus had transformed her life. As I mentioned a moment ago, she'd been devastated when the Lord Jesus that she loved was arrested and tried and crucified. Her world had fallen apart. And here in John 20, having rested on the Jewish Sabbath, she had come to the tomb to perform her last loving act for him. She had come to anoint his body with preserving oils and spices. And when she saw the stone had been rolled away, she was gutted. All she could think of was that somebody had taken the body away. And her first response was to run back as quickly as possible and report all that she'd seen to Peter and John. And then, having made her way back to the tomb, she stood outside with a sense of total desolation and wept. And then, with tears in her eyes, she bent over and peeped inside the empty tomb and saw two angels sitting where the body of Jesus had been. Now, you might have thought that would have alerted her to what had happened. But no. As she bends and she weeps and sees two angels, she just says to them, You know, they've taken away my Lord and I don't know where they put him. Poor Mary. Then she turned and saw Jesus. Well, surely this was it. No, it wasn't. Mary thought the person standing there was the gardener. So she asked him if he'd taken the body away and where it might be. And then in that thrilling moment, Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned to him and she said, Rabboni. I wonder if she also said, what an idiot I've been. Rabboni, teacher. But do you see what had happened? Mary's grief, her sorrow had blinded her to the fact that Jesus was alive. And even when he was standing right there beside her, it didn't dawn. And we can be like Mary. We can allow things like grief and sadness and anxiety and fear and despair and bitterness, even anger, to so overwhelm us that we are blinded by it and do not consider the living Lord Jesus is there to save us, to comfort us, to encourage us, and to walk with us day by day. The living Lord Jesus says to us, if we've not done so before this morning, come to me. All you who are weak and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He says to those who have come to him, I am with you always. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Like Mary, may we discover that the living Lord Jesus can transform our times of grief, sadness and trial with the joy of his presence. And then secondly, I want us to take a short excursion into Luke's Gospel and chapter 24 and verses 13 to 35. I'm not going to read the verses in their entirety, but do read them when you return. There we find two people walking along the road that led from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They were on a 7-mile walk. And as they journeyed, these two were trying to get their heads round all that had happened to Jesus in the last week or so. Then as they walked along the road, a seeming stranger comes and walks along with them and asks them what they're talking about. Their faces reflected their pain as they told Jesus all that had happened in Jerusalem over the past few days. I think there must have been a smile on the face of Jesus as they told him what he already knew, and that Mary and some of the others had reported that he'd risen from the dead. But clearly from verse 2, these two disciples were not sure what to believe and were trying to work it out. I'm sure if I'd have been Jesus, I'd have said, wakey, wakey. Come on, guys. So what did Jesus do? He explained the Bible to them. If there is one walk that has taken place in the whole of the history of mankind that I would have loved to have been on, it's that one. As Jesus explained from the scriptures all that was going to happen to him. Then, as the journey drew to an end, Jesus accepted their invitation to stay for the night. Then, as they sat down, as they reclined for a meal together, that thrilling moment came as Jesus, as he had often done before, took bread, gave thanks, and gave it to them. And at that moment, they recognized that it was the resurrected Jesus who had been with them on their journey, who had sat with them in their house. And at the moment he disappeared, they said to one another in Luke chapter 24 and verse 32, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" The answer to their questions, the answer to their confusion, had been with them all the time. There in the scriptures. Let us learn how important it is to read and study the Bible. Let's take advantage of all the helps that God makes available to us so that we can understand it. Let us ask, as he promises, the Holy Spirit to give us understanding of his word. Let us look to Bible teachers who are able to help us, to good books, to other Christians. Let's love the scriptures that are able to make us wise for salvation and able to disciple us, that we might be the people God wants us to be. May we be people of his word. And as the risen Jesus turned Mary's sadness to joy, and these disciples' confusion to clear understanding, may he, by his word, do the same for us. The week leading up to Easter had been a really difficult week for the disciples of Jesus. And so now I want us to look back in John's Gospel to the time when Jesus met with all the disciples, apart from Judas and from Thomas. That's from John chapter 20. As I said, the week leading up to Easter had been a really difficult week for these disciples. At the beginning of that week, if you had asked them, they would have told you that they were a loyal band that followed Jesus. They didn't like him talking about his coming death and said things like, "That will never happen to you." And things like, "I would die for you, Lord." But during this last week, one of their number had betrayed Jesus and then committed suicide. Another had denied that he ever knew Jesus. And the rest had forsaken him and fled. That's a good band of loyal followers, wasn't it? And now here they were together, having locked themselves in a room for fear that the Jews might have them rounded up and crucified as well. It must have been a little bit like those films where we see people hiding from the Germans in the Second World War. Every footstep, every shadow sent a shiver down their spine. They had heard reports that Jesus had risen. Mary had told them that she had seen him and even brought a message to them. Matthew 28 and verse 7 tells us what that message was, where Jesus says these words, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. But of course they hadn't believed her. The two who had met Jesus whilst walking to Emmaus had been back, but they didn't believe them either. And here they were in a room gripped with fear. And then we read verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be with you." That's a lovely verse, isn't it? Here they were, gripped with fear, but Jesus came and said, "Peace be with you." Fear can be an obstacle that prevents us from enjoying the love and friendship of God. It can prevent us appreciating who Jesus is, our great God and Savior. It can be an obstacle to us coming to Him and receiving Him as our Savior and Lord. It can be a stumbling block as we set out to follow Christ. We may be afraid of what people will think of us if we declare ourselves to be His followers. We can be afraid of what people will think of us if we stand firm on what the Bible teaches about how we live. We can be afraid of how people will react as we share the gospel with them. But what did Jesus say to these frightened people? "Peace be with you." The Lord Jesus brings peace. He brings us peace with God. He brings us peace about the past. "I've covered your sin." He brings us peace about the present. "I am with you always." He brings us peace about the future, for He tells us that He who has begun a good work in you will carry it on until the day of Jesus Christ. He doesn't promise an end to all our troubles, but in the midst of trouble, He can give us peace. Some of our brothers and sisters throughout the world are even facing death for Christ's sake. But how often do we read or we hear of the peace of God which passes understanding, that is their experience in the deepest difficulties of their life's journey? The risen Jesus turned Mary's sadness to joy. He transformed two confused disciples so that they were able to clearly understand. And here in that locked room, He brought a group of terrified disciples peace. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. And then the last person I want us to notice this morning in John 20 is Thomas. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus made His first resurrection to the company of disciples in that locked room. We don't know what Thomas was doing. We don't know where he was. But Thomas is known as a doubting Thomas, isn't he? Because he expressed his doubts that Jesus had risen from the dead, even when more and more people were telling him that Jesus was alive from the dead. He still stubbornly refuses. There's still this huge block. He had heard Jesus say that He would rise from the dead. He had the reports of those who had seen Jesus, but still he doubted. In fact, he said in verse 25, "Unless I see in His hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. That was grotesque, wasn't it? What a thing to say. So doubting. No, unless I see those nail prints and I put my finger in them and I see that gash in his side and I put my hand in, I won't believe. Thomas' doubts prevented him from believing that Jesus was alive. They prevented him from sharing the joy and excitement of his fellow disciples. They prevented him from enjoying the love and friendship of Jesus. How amazingly gracious Jesus was in verse 27 when he comes to him and he says to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Now Thomas is utterly ashamed, utterly convinced, and says, my Lord and my God. If you have doubts about the resurrection of Jesus, share them with someone who believes and ask their opinion. But best of all, share them with Jesus. And he will help you as he helped Thomas to overcome his doubts. But also notice what Jesus said in verse 29. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. The evidence is overwhelming for the resurrection of Jesus. There have been those who have set out to disprove the resurrection of Jesus and have finished up vibrant believers in the risen Lord. The risen Jesus turned Mary's sadness to joy. He transformed two confused disciples so that they were able to clearly understand. He brought a group of terrified disciples his gift of peace. And here he brought doubting Thomas to trust him and follow him. May the living Lord Jesus do all these things to us. Amen.